Good to see you in the house of the Lord this evening. If you would take a hymnal, turn with me over to page number 286. Page 286. Let's everyone stand together and sing the Glory Land Way. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Turn over to page number 57. Page 57. Let's sing a few verses of Amazing Grace. Might as well just sing it all on the third now. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. Tis grace that brought me safe thus far. We burn.
reach back and sing a little bit of an older song for you tonight. It says, "He touched me." Shackled by a heavy burden, neath a load of guilt and shame, in the hand of Jesus touch me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul, something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me. Since I've met this blessed Savior, and since He cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise Him. I'm gonna shout that He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul, something happened, and
I got a lot of advance notice on this. Al looked at me right before he walked to the pulpit and said, "Can you please sing something tonight?" And I was like, "Well, sure." I am grateful for the faithfulness of my God. And I am grateful for His love and that He grants grace when we don't deserve it, mercy when we stand in no way meritorious of such mercy. And at the end of the last year, I sat here before I played, and I asked for the question to the congregation that if you could, in one word, answer, finish this sentence. I've learned over the last year that God to me has been. The very first answer I got was the very answer that I wanted, and Glenda said it, and she said, "He's been faithful." We serve a good God.
Yes, sir.
All right, I got one over here on the front that agrees with me. We serve a good, good God.
Amen.
And He is far better to us than we ever deserved. Was given the gracious privilege of being raised by godly parents and godly grandparents. And this past couple of weeks have been a little rough. My mom's 96th birthday would have been Friday. the Friday before that, she celebrated 23 years in heaven. My mom was 72 when she passed away. I was in my early 30s, baby of seven boys, so I had to tell my mom goodbye. But I always remember my mom talking about how much she was blessed not only to be here, but was blessed to be a member of God's family. Very, very simple song that I want to sing, just because it's true. God's been so very, very, very good. Lately, I've been looking back along this winding road to the old familiar markers of the mercies I have known. And I know it may sound simple, but it's more than a cliche. There's no better way to tell you than to say, God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. Though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could, 'cause through it all, God's been good. Times replay, and I can see that I've cried some bitter tears, but I felt his arms around me as I faced my greatest fears. You see, I've had more gains than losses, and I've known more joy than hurt. As his grace rolled down upon me, undeserved, God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. Though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could, 'cause through it all, God's been good. For God has been my Father, my Savior and my friend. His love was my beginning, and his love will be my end. I could spend forever trying to tell you everything he is, but the best way I can say it is this: God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. Though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could, 'cause through it all, God's been good. Though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could, 'cause through it all, God's been good. Thank you.
was over there minding my own business tonight. Didn't really feel emotional when I came to church, but I needed to hear that song, Brother David. I appreciate that. And God's been good to us during those troublesome times when you feel like life's falling apart. He has a way of being close to you, and I appreciate the Lord tonight. Had some experiences this past year, and had some times where I wasn't sure. But there came the Lord right on time. Amen. You ever been scared before, just what lies ahead? Sure. Not really sure how things will turn out. And you know the Lord's in control, but you just haven't been to the territories you're going through, troubled waters. Then there was Jesus right on time to calm our fears and to speak to our hearts. And I appreciate the Lord tonight for doing that. Not really sure what lies ahead from this day forward. None of us do. But to His Word, we must cling. Each and every day, got to. Tonight, we're going to spend a few moments in Lamentations 3, Lamentations chapter number 3. Lamentations chapter number 3. Something on my heart here we just want to share tonight to try to one last attempt to be a blessing and encouragement before we launch out into a brand new week. And so let's pray, and then I want to mention a few things as a ground basis before we share some things here. Lord, we love You tonight. We thank You for who You are. Thank You for what You do. Lord, thank You for the crowd tonight. Lord, thank You for those who have come to gather around Your Word, Lord, to sing praises unto You. Father, I pray in the next few moments that You would use me, Lord, as a vessel, Lord, to pour into Your people. God, I pray that we would leave this place tonight with just an encouraged heart, Lord, to live for You in these evil days. We love You, we thank You, and we praise You. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Jeremiah, known as the weeping prophet. And God had called Jeremiah to the ministry, chosen by God to be a prophet. And so he preached to God, preached the truth to God's people. And beyond that, he preached to the enemy. He preached to all that would listen. And the weeping prophet tonight. Of course, Jeremiah wrote the book of Jeremiah. And then, of course, we believe that he wrote the book of Lamentations. Lamentations means to lament. To mourn. And so we have this prophet who took a stood for God, who was called by God, and because of the sin of the people and the sin of the people and because of the fall of his country, that Jeremiah was just in a place of grief, really. He lamented over this. He wanted God's people to return to him and to do what's right and be accounted for God. And be accounted to God. And so tonight, with that said, in chapter number 5, in verse 21, we have repentance placed here. A special verse on repentance. He says, in chapter 5, verse 21, "Turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old." And so we have repentance in the book. And Jeremiah said, "Lord, unless You turn us, we won't be doing no turning." And so we have that there in chapter number 5. And then in chapter number 3, we have hope. We have repentance, but we have hope. In chapter number 3, verse number 21 down through verse number 23, the Bible says, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Because his compassions fail not, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And so we have these things taking place in this book, the Book of Lamentations. Tonight I actually want to speak from verse chapter number 3, but I want to look at two things. Verse number 1 down through verse number 20. We're not going to elaborate on each and every verse, but I want to look at those verses, and then I want to look at verse number 21 through 23. And tonight I want to talk to you about faith over feelings. Faith over feelings. We mentioned that Jeremiah, being the prophet of God, was to speak to God's people. And so we know, again, that the people of God had fell into sin and great reproach upon the country and cities surrounding. And this broke Jeremiah's heart. He was weeping. He was the weeping prophet. And so we have the book of Lamentations. In verse number 1 down through verse number 20, we have an account of his feelings. Look in verse number 1. I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me is he turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. He hath builded against me and compassed me with gall and travail. He hath set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. I want to mention to you some things out of these verses as we move through these 20 verses. Based upon how Jeremiah felt during this time. In verse number 2, he felt as though God had led him into darkness and not into light. Verse 2, he hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. He felt as though God had led him into a dark place and not into a light place. Well, surely there's times where we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But in the emotional way that Jeremiah is writing here, he felt as though God in some manner had abandoned him or let him to be desolate in these dark places, but not into light. Verse number 3 says, surely against me is he turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. And so now he feels as though God's hand is against him. God's hand is leading him into a dark place to stay, a dark place to, so that he can abandon him. Has anybody ever been there in your life before? I know I testified just a moment ago of some experiences we had this past year. But has anybody been to a place before where you felt like God's hand was against you? I mean, you were doing what was right, and you prayed, and you read your Bible, and went to church, gave your tithes and offerings, but yet still it feels like you're in a dark place. It feels like God has left you in a dark place. It feels as though God's hand is turned against you, and the Almighty is against you. He's after you in a very negative way. Verse number 6 says, he hath set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. Verse number 8 says this, also when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. During times of prayer, when you there's times when we pray and we know, we feel like we've connected to God, but then there's those other times where we're really not sure. We're in a dark place. We're in a place where we feel like his hand is against us and God has abandoned us. Yet we need to pray and reach heaven. We need to connect with God. And Jeremiah says, I'm in that kind of place. Emotionally, I'm in a dark place. Emotionally, I'm in a place where it feels like God's hand is against me and not for me. He says that whenever I pray, that he shutteth out my prayer. That's a tough place to be in tonight. in your Christian experience, in your journey, when you know you need God and you know you need His hand to be for you, you know you need His hand to guide you like a shepherd, not on the contrary. And so Jeremiah, he's feeling all these different feelings and emotions. Verse number 9 says, He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. Now, we use the phrase, stay on the straight and narrow. Keep walking forward. But Jeremiah talks about a crooked path. And he says that the Lord hath made his paths crooked. It feels like, Lord, I'm going this way, and then something happens, and then I go that way. I go this way, I go that way. Almost like a dance. I go here, I go there. And Jeremiah's trying to explain how he feels. And surely there's times in life when we're that way. When we feel like God is leading us one way and something happens, there's a setback, there's some kind of delay, and then we go this way. And it seems like things are changing for the better, and then we go that way, and this way, and that way. So he mentions that in verse number 9. Verse number 11, He hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. Verse number 13, He hath caused the arrows of His quiver to enter into my reins. You go back and you look up the word reins there. It's those inner parts, and it could be referenced to kidneys. Those inner parts of the human body, kidneys and such like that. He says that my inner reins are crushed. It's deep, deep emotion and pain that I'm feeling in this dark experience. God has called me to the ministry. And so here I am trying to minister, and yet God's people are sinning, and the town and the city and our home place is wrecked and ruined. And so I feel this deep inside pain. Have you ever set out to serve the Lord and it seems like things aren't going right? Seems like things are going the opposite way and nothing's being handled the right way. Things aren't happening the right way. So Jeremiah's feeling these kind of ways. He's feeling as though the Lord had shot him in his innermost parts with an arrow in the pain that's left to feel. Verse number 14, I was in derision to all my people and their song all the day. One commentator said that they made fun of Jeremiah, and they taunted him and ridiculed him. Oh, this is the great prophet Jeremiah, and look at the place that we're at spiritually. Look at our home. Look at our city. It's in ruins because of sin. And look at all the people that's around us. They're doing everything they want to do. And the Bible says, I was in derision to all my people and their song all the day. Jeremiah said, I was a mockery. They made fun of me. Sometimes in the ministry, sometimes in life, even on the job, you'll get made fun of. And shame and all kinds of things will add to the inward pain that you're feeling. Verse 16 says, He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. Verse 18, And I said, My strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. But wait a minute. Jeremiah just got through talking about that there is hope in the Lord. And now he's talking about, my hope is perished from the Lord. This is emotional pain. This is something that he's feeling on the inside. This isn't truth. This is what happens when a person is going through great travail, when a person is going through a hard place, a hard time, and they're going through dark experiences, and they feel like God has turned his hand on you. He says, my hope from the Lord is perished. Verse 19, remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. So verse number 1 down through verse number 20, we have Jeremiah's emotional distress. We have his inward feelings. And much of the time, I know sometimes we feel these ways as we're going through life. When things are different and things change, dilemmas come. That's verse number 1 through 20. Now let me mentioned something, verse number 21 through 23. We looked at his feelings. Now let's look at his faith. In verse number 21, the Bible says, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope." And he's getting ready to tell us what he recalls to his mind. "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." So Jeremiah came to an intersection in his life where his feelings met his faith, if I could say it that way. His feelings met his faith. He knew it was like, what it was like being in that dark dilemma. And again, he expressed all the emotions that he felt. Some even were not even, none of them were true. They were just emotional pain. But some of the Lord was definitely not true about his hope in the Lord was gone. And then he gets down to verse number 21, and he has a time of remembrance. He's recalling to his mind the real truth about God. He says, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not." Jeremiah said, "I had to take a time out and I had to remember some things on purpose. This I recall, this I remember to my mind." You know, there's times where we need to take an emotional break from the things that we're going through. You can, listen, you can be so busy and have so many responsibilities and going through so much in life and have these emotional ups and downs, being on this emotional roller coaster, feeling like the Lord's not hearing your prayers and feeling like he has led you to a dark place and there to abandon you. That's a time where you need to have an emotional timeout. You need to reflect upon the promises of God. And we know that God's word says that He will not forsake us. He is with us. We can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. We have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And our situations may not reflect that by what we're going through. It may look dark and it may look dreary. It may not look like the Lord is nowhere near to be found. But what does Scripture say? It says that he's here, leading us and guiding us. And so sometimes it will do us good to just take an emotional time out and reflect upon the pages of God's Word. You start your week this week and the bottom falls out, you feel forsaken and abandoned. Take a moment and read the promises of God and know that they're there for you. And so he says, "This I recall to my mind." This I had to take a time to remember. And he said, "Once I remembered these truths, I have hope." Verse number 22, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." And so now Jeremiah gets to a place where he can face another day. He gets to a place where he can embrace the darkness he's in. He gets to a place where he can fully continue his ministry, not because of the circumstances that they've changed, but because of the truth of God's word, and that is God's mercy is new every morning. He says, "I feel this bad today. Things may not change tomorrow." He says, "But God will give me an extension of his mercy and grace that will fulfill tomorrow." And then the next day, things may not change. They still may be dark and dreary, but God will give me an extension of his grace and his mercy comparable to the next day and the next day. So you see that God, he proportions out each and every day what we need to get through that day. I like Matthew 6, verse number 33. He talks about, "Seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Well, we know that God will provide what we need each and every day. He goes on and he says, "Take no thought for tomorrow, for the things of tomorrow will take thought of themselves. Sufficient to the days the evil thereof," he talks about. And so what's the gist of that? What is he getting at that? He's getting at that God provides daily. And if I'm caught up in tomorrow and how tomorrow's going to be and the strength I need for tomorrow, I can feel hopeless for today. I can draw back in my spirit and and not be encouraged and feel like I'm in a dark place. I can feel like that all hope is gone and strength is gone if I focus on tomorrow. But Matthew says, when I get to tomorrow, that provision will be there. And Jeremiah says that his mercies are new every morning. And so God will not give me today what he has for me tomorrow. And he will give me today what I need for today. Jeremiah is, his feelings has ran right into his faith. And so he's crossing over from misery emotionally. Now he is rejoicing in hope. He says again in verse 21, this I recall, this I remember, this I willingly bring to my mind. He says, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that were not consumed because his compassions fail not. Praise the Lord for his mercies. Praise the Lord that we can wake up in the morning. We don't know how tomorrow is going to get done. But we know that Jesus will meet us tomorrow with morning kisses. We know that he will provide an ample amount of grace and strength to get us through that day. Listen, when you're looking down the tunnel of ministry, I know Brother Brian and Brother Allen and others can say, man, how's it going to get done? How's it going to get done? We got this to do and that to do in ministry and this to plan for and all of the rest of it. We know how it's going to get done, don't we? God will supply each and every day what we need to get through that day. And everyone else here tonight in the same situation, the hurries and the scuffles of life, you know as well that God will provide what you need each and every day. So he says in verse 21, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that were not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. I say this sometimes, but I found it to be true testimonies of you guys. Some of you have told me a year ago, Brother Justin, I just don't know how I'm going to make it through another day. And here it is a year later, and you're still sitting here, and you're praising the Lord, and you're following along in your Bible, and you're doing what you do, and you continuing on, you know, when you get home and through the work week and all, you're still here. How is that? It's his mercy. It's his grace each and every day. It's easy to get caught up in the week ahead, the month ahead, the year ahead, and what needs to be done and the strength that needs to be provided. It's so easy to get caught up in that. But tonight, if we could just focus on today. And in the midst of our emotional distresses, focus on how God enables us, then we can not only make it through today, but we can make it through tomorrow. Why? Because we're great and we have a lot of power? No, but because God is merciful and God is great. Verse 23, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Just a short message tonight on faith over feelings at Lamentations 3. Father, we love you tonight. We praise you for who you are, for what you do. God, that's what we felt led to share this evening. All of your word's good at any time, Lord. But Lord, help us to just reflect as we start a brand new week that though we may feel that we're in hard places and dark places at times, though we may feel that our prayers aren't getting through, Lord, help us to just realize that as long as we're confessed up to date, Lord, our prayers are getting through. You're just up to something. But help us realize, Lord, as we begin our new week, that there's strength there that is waiting on us, Lord. There's mercy when we need it. All we have to do is get up and go and follow you. So I pray today, Lord, that you would be with each and every one of us that are here tonight. Keep us safe and bring us back safely on Wednesday night. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. If you need to pray, you can come and pray.
Just as I am without one plea, but I
I want to mention it before we close. As we're closing, just remember Miss Brenda, Charlie Wilson's wife, and remember the family. And again, we're going to try to put together a memorial here for Brother Charlie. We'll let you know when we come up with that. But just remember that. Also, remember a missionary, Brother Don Rich, had been requesting prayer for a while now. Tomorrow, Miss Marta Mullins. It's Mike and Marta Mullins. Do we know where their missionary is at? Is it Chile? Okay. Missionaries of Chile, we believe. She's going for, but they're going to remove her thyroid and a tumor tomorrow. So if you would, just remember them in prayer. And also next Sunday night, I asked Brother Allen if he would bring God's word for us. It's been a while since I had Brother Allen preach here. And so Brother Allen will be preaching for us on next Sunday night. And looking forward to that. Thank you, brother, for agreeing with that. All right. Anything else to mention before we close? Good to see everybody today. Been a good day. All right. We'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. And everyone just have a wonderful week. And be safe out there. Brother Jeff Hodges, would you close us out?